Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Shout out to David for the winner of the Booth Creek Wagyu $50 gift card. David.
There you go, David.
Last night did make the chicken cutlet Caesar salad hoagie sandwich.
Ooh, damn.
Smash.
Let's go.
With a little potato soup from Panera.
They've got great soup. Broccoli cheddar's good.
I don't know how you rank it. Chicken tortilla, chicken wild rice, jeez. Cheesy potato. Mac and cheese. Have you seen they have the macaroni and cheese, broccoli cheddar bread bowl?
Wow.
Felt my heart skip a beat.
Sounds incredible. I love Panera.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Dudes give Panera a bad rap.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. Everywhere you go nowadays, it's like, it's so expensive. Well, sign up.
Sorry.
You know?
Yeah, it is what it is.
But man.
They've been expensive before the expensive things started.
Seriously.
Though. Oh, yep. Yeah. But it was good food. Did they close?
Always good.
No. Just getting in there. Yesterday's big news, Colin Klein sounds like he's going to be the next head coach. Coach Klein, going to be the next coach at Kansas State for the Wildcat football team. As Klein Men steps down, an emotional press conference as well.
Really was. I felt emotional watching that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I've only talked to Chris Kleiman one time, and it was during COVID, and we had everybody on during COVID because nobody had anything to do, right? And so we talked to him during COVID. But the one thing that I do remember most about Chris Kleiman was when he was hired the same year as that Les Miles.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Miles Clown was hired at KU. And I was at something for the Sports Commission. I think it was their annual awards banquet. And they had both Kleiman and Les Miles on stage together. And it was at that point in time where I realized, oh, my God, KU has hired a Weekend at Bernie's guy. And K-State's got themselves a really good coach. I just remember him kind of commanding that room. And I'm like, I really like this guy. And he turned out to be great, Dusty, for K-State. He's the second greatest coach in program history. And as John Kurtz pointed out on Twitter yesterday, which I thought was really good, he said, look, this was the guy who gave us the opportunity to finally win a conference championship without Bill Snyder and showed us in Manhattan that that could be done. And if that was Chris Kleiman's ultimate, like, kind of calling card and what he was kind of put in Manhattan, Kansas to do to show K-State they could win conference championships without Bill Snyder, job accomplished. And I think Chris Kleiman came in and steadied the waters when they needed him to be steadied. And I think he did a really nice job over there in Manhattan. So I felt emotional for him yesterday because this is the business of college sports right now, man. I promise you, and this is how I feel, the boosters went in there and said, we got to move him out because Colin Klein is available and we can't afford to have our Heisman runner-up be the head football coach at Oklahoma State University. And I think that's ultimately what did Chris Kleiman in.
Yeah, and I thought it was good pointing out yesterday on Twitter after the announcement kind of had came out of what was the source that broke the news yesterday?
The Manhattan Mercury.
And I thought, you know, Karrington made a good point about how, like, did we know it was coming with the emotional press conferences? And then obviously as the news day goes through, we hear Cody and Gold on the airways as well from 10 to 2. And they kind of brought that up too. And then you watch yesterday, it kind of felt like that final cry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've been to a funeral, you find out what happens. And then all of a sudden, like when you get there and see it and you're in the room, it's like a different, like, this is it, right? You never get to, at least in my expertise, I've never cried harder after like the funerals happened. It's always been tears or whatever, like all that sort of stuff. And, you know, that press conference seemed kind of like a relief cry or a relief emotional press conference, because there had been times that we had seen, and somebody brought this up on the text line after the Utah game, he seemed a little bit more emotional than maybe one should be. Like, this isn't like Dick Vermeil emotional, right, where like he's just proud of his kids doing all the stuff on the football field. This was like a, man, I'm just, you know, like I'd imagine like one day if you hang it up the last week of your shows, every time that sign off happens, it'll be like five more, four more, three more. And every one will be more and more and more. And then the final one would be like, huh, you know, here it is. Like, right, this is it. And I think there was conversation this happening, because this is exactly what college football is nowadays. It is, you've got to get your guy before the next guy gets swooped up because of how the transfer is, how the open window is, how coaches carousel his way through college football, as we saw with Lane Kiffin. Obviously, Colin Klein, not on that level as Lane Kiffin yet. But again, like, to me, this is how, in my opinion, in my heart of hearts, I think this is how it shaped out. I think there were a lot of talks about Colin Klein being the next head coach of a major university, right? And there was a lot of people in Kansas State that were like, if we let this kid go, who's still young, 36, 37 years old,
young,
you know, if he's going to go somewhere and be successful, God forbid it be Oklahoma State, right?
That was the thing. Like, if it was UCLA or somebody, maybe it's different.
Yeah.
But that's right there in your backyard.
And it's like, we're not going to let this guy go. And here's the deal. Coach Kleiman, it's been fun. It's been great. You did a great job. If you retire, we'll give you X dollar to just call it a day. Because if he gets fired, he gets the full buyout. We know how that kind of stuff works. Because he was signed until 2032.
Which tells you, like, if he's going to, quote, retire, they took care of him at Kansas State.
And I think this is one of those things where they said to themselves, this is what this is what the fan base wants. This is what, because I had a buddy of mine, Jeffrey, yesterday, talking to him, a diehard K-State alum, everything, right? Went there, has all that, you know, bleeds purple and silver Emaw tattoo on his back. Kidding. Spelled wrong. Kidding as well. But no, shout out Russolo. And the thing is that, you know, the narrative that I got from Kleiman was he wasn't necessarily hated. It was just like, kind of like in Pittsburgh, we're in purgatory. We're there. They were Big 12 favorites. It didn't work out that well, right? Like, Avery Johnson's brothers were fighting people in Ireland. It went sour in the first game of the season. And then it was kind of like the writing on the wall. It's like 2 years ago when ETN fumbled. You're like, watch Jacksonville season. And they just never really got over that hiccup. And I think that when you look at this situation, we are prisoner of the moment in college sports, and you don't want to see that guy go. You think of recruitment. You think of NIL. You think of players that might come in here. Plus, you think of what you have at quarterback in Avery Johnson. And it wasn't working out with Kleinman. And maybe it works out with Colin Klein. I don't know. But this kind of seems like a nice, forceful way out to be like, hey, you did great for us. You got us back to where we wanted to be. But that's where we've always been. In a day and age of college sports, we think we can take the next level up, and we're going to go with youth, and we're going to go with popularity. And I think that's what they did.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And that's why I don't believe this was a Gene Taylor decision at all. Gene Taylor had to execute the decision, but this decision was made by the money people who went to him and said, this is what you're going to do. That's why you saw Gene Taylor so emotional. And I also think because they're family friends. I mean, they've known each other since they worked together at North Dakota State. They're two peas in a pod. And so that's his friend. That's why I know this wasn't a Gene Taylor decision. This came from above. And they said, look, this is what we're going to do. And then Gene Taylor said, fine, if you want me to, go through with this, then you're going to pay this man until 2032. We're going to pay out his entire contract and then go get the young guy. And I say that because Gene Taylor said yesterday, he goes, this is the state of college sports that we're in right now, and it sucks. And he's leaving because of the way college sports is. And Chris Kleinman is a nice name. He's not the biggest name, obviously, in college sports, but we're losing them as well. The Nick Sabans, the Roy Williams, the Mike Krzyzewskis, all of these big-time coaches that you used to see out there are gone now because they don't want to deal with what college sports is right now, and that's being beholden to the booster guy, to the crumble cookie guy, or to the guy who struck oil in Texas, or to the guy who's selling insurance in Kansas, or whatever the guys
Daniel
are.
Daniel Plainfield?
Yeah, right, who made the money and all that kind of stuff. They're calling the shots. Like, the crumble cookie guys legitimately called the shots in college football this week. He literally changed the landscape of college football this week because he made some really good cookies and had the money to keep his guy at BYU and change the whole landscape of college football. That's where it is right now. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Gene Taylor say, I'm out of this too, man. Like, what's going on here? Are we running a college football program, or are we running a business? And the answer is, you're running a business. And if you don't understand that now in college sports, then it is best to get out. It's no longer about your results on the field and all that kind of stuff. It's if the money dries up and the boosters stop paying and they don't want you there anymore, you're gone. And we saw that happen in Manhattan, Kansas. And it sucks for Chris Kleinman, but I understand where we are right now in this sport.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are saying, well, what if Colin Klein doesn't go to K-State? Well, I don't think this happens if he doesn't have some sort of, and it's, because it is an interesting time, right? Like, the signing day happens, and we had Drew Nixon on yesterday, did a really good job, 249-mile podcast as well, if you want to check that out. But again, you can always, decommit, obviously. It's not as long, it's not as tough as you think it may be. But I think this is one of those things where, like, they kind of know what's going to happen. They just got to do the right order of how it goes. Like, Kleinman's a great guy. He's a class act.
Yeah.
He handled this well, even if there is some sort of different story that we're not being told yet that we will be told eventually. He did it with class. He did it with brass, and he went out of there and he did his thing.
He was
did
great
exactly
yesterday.
Now, I'm sure the money was nice. I'm not here to say that. We all can kind of put everything together and build the puzzle, but I don't think this happens if they don't know what's coming, right? You don't. Most of the time, if you quit your job, you probably have another job lined up in the next couple of weeks where you're like, F this place. I don't want to be here. That's why I went and got another job anyway. You know what? I'm at my limit. You guys can figure out the next week. It happens a lot in the restaurant industry, if you want to believe that or not. But again, I think that this is kind of one of those things where, people stopped believing in what Kleinman was producing. Mm-hmm. And that's not a shot at his character. It's just, like I said yesterday, you get to a level eventually in life where you can't compete anymore.
Let me ask you this, though. Did they get tired of him, or did they see the hot chick at the other side of the bar and went, ooh, I can do better?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both because, obviously 2032, you're committed to a long-term relationship, but things change and names pop in and attitudes change and you see the production on the field, and what was the prediction of what they could have been was not what they wanted to be. And we had the Giannis audio earlier. It was a season of failure. I think K-State Athletic Department would tell you 100% it is.
Yeah.
We are, going to a bowl game, but we should have been playing for so much more. And what we wanted to be is what Texas Tech is. And what Texas Tech is, well, by God, they got a lot of donor money. They became this team in the Big 12 now that's something we've got to get to. And maybe that getting to that is, well, if we listen to our donors and we listen to our people and our fan base and we put the guy in there that's the hot guy, that's going to create stuff. And then we can start to unfold what could be a better version of K-State, because I would say K-State as a football team in the Big 12 has been a blue blood. You know who they are.
Yeah.
You know what they do. They're always better than most teams in the Big 12. I'm not saying the Big 12 is a dominant conference, but they were picked to win it this year, and they're not there.
Well,
and that's where movement changes. And then all of a sudden you think, if we miss on this home run hire, then what's going to happen next?
Well, you mentioned, you know, a little bit ago, you know, you hope that plan is in place to hire Colin Klein, because if you fired your coach, you better be ready to go. Ask Penn State about that.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Penn State about having their coach ready to go and firing the right coach and not having a plan in place to make sure that you have somebody to come in. So if Colin Klein isn't hired by Kansas State, then I believe something has gone severely wrong, and maybe we'll look back and go, maybe they shouldn't have fired or let go or retired, however we're phrasing it, you know, Chris Klieman over there at K-State. They better land Colin Klein as their new head coach.
We'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll talk to Nate Taylor on the other side as well here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Nate Taylor in 5 minutes of ESPN, your Chiefs beat writer of the Four Letter Network. Nate Taylor, coming off of the Thanksgiving game, he's had a little mini bye as well, so we'll get to that as well. So let's dive into this one before we get to Nate Taylor, because we've talked about it earlier. Like, what team are you going to see on Sunday? Are you going to see the team that you've seen all year? Are you going to see a team that's had to stare itself in the face with adversity and say, boys, if we don't win, it's going to be a quick season?
Yep. I think we're going to see the one that we've seen all season long. Until I see evidence otherwise, it's hard for me to say, yeah, we're going to see this Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid offensive juggernaut that we've come used to seeing, or this defensive juggernaut. Like, if they're going to change the way that they play, well, then here's what has to happen, okay? They need to go under center. They need to run the football. They need to not expose their offensive tackles who are backups. They need to get pressure on the quarterback with the front four and not have the blitz on every single play. They need to be proficient on special teams and not make mistakes. I don't know if this version of this organization right now, this 2025 version, is capable of doing all of that stuff. We haven't seen it all year. They've had untimely turnovers. They've had bad plays defensively. They've not been able to rush. Like, all of a sudden in week 14, four guys are not going to be able to start rushing the passer, are they? Like, I mean, where's that been for the first 13?
Well, they got to clean some things up.
Yeah, but I hate that line. That's a cliche throwaway line to try to move on to the next thing. Every coach says it. You hear it every week in the NFL.
Is that worse than things will work themselves out?
That's terrible, too.
That's Josh Allen's example of the offense in Buffalo. Things will work themselves out. It's week 14.
Yeah, and see, that's the answer. When people continue to say we're this close, it's week 14. If you were this close, you would have hit that in week 3. And so it's just, to me, the problems are still problems with this team. The front four not being able to get pressure, the offensive line now being banged up, and the, what's the word that I'm looking for? The want to that is not there to run the football.
Desire
to run the football. Because it's not inability to run the football. It's desire to run the football. And I think that goes to Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And untimely turnovers.
It's not on Patrick Mahomes. I just don't know how that's on Patrick Mahomes. That's on Andy Reid. Run the football. That's on you. You're the play caller. Run the football.
Well, when you do an RPO. And
okay,
you're
great. Don't do RPO.
I agree with that, because you can't trust Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think
football.
That's true either. I think you have to do the R to do the RPO. If you're not doing runs, then you can't do RPOs. You have to do the first part.
You do. But
that's
Patrick,
on Andy Reid.
But you've got to call that run because you can't trust your quarterback in an RPO situation.
But you can't trust him because of the defense, Bob, not because of Mahomes. The defense you can't trust because they're not going after the R. That's on Andy Reid.
No, we're arguing the same thing here.
I think we are. I don't know.
Andy Reid needs to call strictly runs. Andy Reid needs to call strict run plays. He can't give his quarterback the option to do run or pass because the quarterback is not taking the run option ever. He's going with the P option. So you have to tell him as a child, you're no longer getting cake until you clean your room. And then when they start running the football effectively, then we can give you those RPOs back, because the quarterback is taking the R and throwing that out with the trash and just focusing on the P option of this one.
I agree.
So that's why the coach has to say, we're running power dives up the middle and there's no P option. It is a run play.
My extension only to that, my only edit to that would be that should always be the case. You always need those HB dives. You always need those pure runs to have an RPO to make it work. That's how it happened. That's how it was birthed.
What happened to the halfback counter?
Yeah, we don't see that anymore.
That was the goat of Madden.
Yeah, Binkley's up there going, man, I tell you what, let me tell you about the halfback counter. Yeah.
The only thing this team's proven that they can change is penalties on a one-game situation. They can clean it up for one game. They've proven that this season.
Once.
One game, yeah, and then it's back.
And that was a Detroit game. They didn't have any penalties. Right. Is that what it was? What about this being at home? We know that's a different team at home.
Yeah, they are. But, I mean, are they going to...
Do you still give Arrowhead the advantage?
Yeah, you'd like to. Sure, okay. Absolutely. But they've got to go out there and take advantage of that. Like, Arrowhead can only do so much. The crowd can only be, you know, such a factor in these games. The players have to go out there and play. And, you know, again, the offensive or the defensive line not being able to get home on rushing four is a major detriment to everything that you want to do on defense. It's essentially, you know, the same thing that we're talking about offensively, Dusty. It's like, you're not going to run the ball, so you've become a one-dimensional offense. Well, you can't get home with four guys rushing the passer. Correct. You've essentially become a one-dimensional defense. And so that you know, that tells me some of it is play calling, obviously, from an offensive standpoint, but a defensive standpoint, a lot of it's probably a personnel standpoint, and they really need to do a better job evaluating that position this offseason.
Can't think of anybody else to ask other than Nate Taylor.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby laugh.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
You better believe it. ESPN's own Nate Taylor. All thing, everything Chiefs. Nate, I got to ask, the offensive line, is it really Wanye at left tackle over Jalen Moore?
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to start here.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is this, right? And, again, we may get more clarification. Hopefully we get a better answer from Matt Nagy later today. But, like, my theory is this has to be a smokescreen, right? Because technically you did put it on tape because the game did not go the way you anticipated in Dallas, right? Hey, if Jawan Taylor gets hurt at halftime or he can't go in the second half, okay, well, the answer is, hey, you have to play Jalen Moore. He is your next guy up. Okay, totally makes sense. Uh-oh, there goes Josh Simmons' wrist. So, all right, well, we don't have, you know, we have Wanye Morris. We could do that. But I think it's a philosophical question about what Andy Heck and Andy Reid want from their backup tackles, where it's, hey, if you're on the field already, we don't necessarily want to switch positions in the middle of the game based on, you know, practice reps and all the things that happen, you know, leading up to the game. By the way, they only had one practice you know, beating the Colts to playing the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. All right, well, let me just put that out there in a press conference so that maybe the Houston Texans will, like, treat it with, you know, validity. But, like, I understand why fans are, you know, up in arms about the possibility of Wanye Morris at left tackle when we've actually seen him play pretty well at right tackle on occasion, especially during his rookie season. Last year was a little bit chaotic because once things didn't work out with Kingsley Suamataia, they really didn't have a left tackle outside of Wanye Morris. But this season you do. You sign Jalen Moore to potentially be the starting left tackle. We all know what happened at the draft with Josh Simmons essentially falling to their lap. But, yeah, like, that's my only theory, guys, is that, like, hey, let's lie to the Houston Texans and then let's actually practice the way I think most people should. It's been really fun to watch even former players like Mitchell Schwartz kind of lose their mind over the idea that Wanye Morris is at left tackle and Jalen Moore is at right tackle.
Well, I mean, I just don't understand how you do that to your quarterback who literally lost his mind on Wanye Morris a year ago at this time.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, one of the best things about last season in the midst of them going 15-1 is Patrick Mahomes screaming. If people don't remember this is on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. This is against the Raiders. This isn't even Max Crosby, right? Because I think Max Crosby was mostly lining up against Jawan Taylor that day. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes literally screaming at Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, essentially saying, "Get him off the field, guys." That's when they went to Joe Tooney, and they never looked back. And Wanya Morris was essentially, a backup player from that point. So, I mean, look, is Wanya Morris healthy? Sure. Has he been in the system? Yeah. Does he have the tools to, like, be, you know, a capable backup? Of course. But does that mean he's going to do that and play that well on a down-to-down basis with, like, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson lurking? Yeah, you can't do this, man. Like, unless you're going to have a tight end dedicated to the left side of the formation. And I actually thought about this yesterday. Okay, maybe you have more tight ends on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Well, does that mean, you know, Noah Gray's back? Obviously, he had the concussion a couple games ago. He missed the Cowboys game. Okay, fine. I guess you could do Chip Help, but that's why Josh Simmons is perhaps done for the season, because he fractured his wrist with some friendly fire from Kareem Hunt. We've actually seen Jalen Moore, and I know this must also drive fans nuts too. We've seen Jalen Moore do really well against Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. Hey, man, that's either Danielle Hunter or Will Anderson. And by the way, they have better pass rush production than the entire defensive line of your Kansas City Chiefs. So I have to believe that Andy Reid was lying to us, and I guess we'll see if Matt Nagy continues that lie today.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at any level to do something like that, because the job as a head coach is to put your team in the best possible position to be successful. And in my opinion, and clearly based on the reaction of Patrick a year ago, Wanya Morris at left tackle is not putting your team in the best possible position to be successful.
Oh, and by the way, guys, this is essentially a play-in / playoff game. Like, this isn't, hey, this is October, we're just experimenting, hey, we just need to get through this game, you know, so Josh can come back or whoever, you know, in the lineup. No, man, this is the playoffs. This is the most desperate you need to behave to try to keep your season going. So, I don't understand it. You know, I know some people have said another theory is like, well, hey, if Jawan Taylor's not going to be available on Sunday, well, is it time to start seeing, you know, Jalen Moore at the right tackle position? Because with Josh Simmons and how well he has played before the injury, that is the logical destination for Jalen Moore in 2026. Well, it's not 2026, guys. It's still 2025. What are you doing?
Nate, I want to bring it. Yeah, go ahead.
We know he can play right tackle. You saw it in the preseason. It's fine. But, like, we don't need to be doing auditions when, like, again, your season is literally on the brink.
Nate, I think Mac and I tallied it up against the Colts. The Chiefs ran the ball under center, I think it was 12 times. I might have missed one or given one too many. If I set the over-under at 10.5 this week against the Houston Texans of runs under center, where would you go with that?
Knowing this group, I would still go under. I mean, if it was me, we would do that. You know, we'd do a modified version of what Herm Edwards used to do when he had Damon Huard as his quarterback. Think about how far the Chiefs have come.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's just like, hey, man, it's run. Tell me what the down and distance is on third down. And I guess we'll pass if we need to pass. But, you know, in terms of managing the clock, of not exposing your quarterback given your limitations from pass protection due to injuries, and just the statistics. I know Andy Reid said earlier this week, like, yes, guys, we have the stats. And I'm like, well, coach, like, one of the best stats is you guys are actually pretty productive under center because, you know, your linemen are pretty good at run blocking when given the opportunity against light boxes, right? So you're not even – it's not like any defense is going to, like, put eight guys in the box against you. So you're always going to have inherently a numbers advantage if you guys just execute well. I would love to say over, but I just think they'll do it, you know, here and there kind of sparingly to say they did it. But, man, I don't know if I have faith, right? I think I have more faith in the Chiefs trying to be capable on the quick game to keep the ball in their quarterback's hands but not expose him. But again, as I was saying to, like, Logan yesterday during the press conferences, hey, man, that quick game better be real quick if you're going to have Wanya Morris at left tackle and Jalen Moore at right tackle. And look, Mike Caliendo, there's still tape of him. So teams are starting to figure out how to, you know, attack him as a backup right guard. Yeah, I just think they're going to do – I think the Chiefs are going to do a lot of, line, you know, behind the line of scrimmage passes, maybe have a reverse or some jet sweeps involved to put the defensive ends in conflict. But also, I just think you're going to be in shotgun and just say, hey, Patrick, find the one-on-one matchup you want against man or the quick answer against zone, whether that's Rashee Rice or Travis Kelce. I just don't think this team is – I don't have faith that this team is going to change its philosophical profile again, like you guys were saying earlier in week 14.
Yeah, it's and that's where I am, and I can sense a little bit from you, maybe a little frustration. You did use the term "this group is going to change," like you're laughing to yourself. Like, do we really think in week 14 they're going to change who they are? And for me, the answer is no, and that's why I think right now it's hard for me to say that they can go out there and beat the Houston Texans and make a run to the postseason, because if they stay the way that they've been all year, well, then they're not going to make it into the postseason.
We're asking this team to win five games without their best left tackle for the next four games, right? We're asking this team to win five straight games when the defense has struggled to get off the field, in particular on gotta-have-it moments on third down in the second half. If you look at what my colleague Dan Orlovsky has done over the last 2 days, it's essentially be like, hey, it's not a scheme thing. It's more of a personnel thing with the Chiefs defense. And so do they have the horses to get off the field on third down, even though you are getting to third and long, right? We all know the issues on pass rush. All of a sudden, I mean, George Karloftis, man, you better play like your hair's on fire on Sunday to provide support for Chris Jones. Look, we're asking a lot. In this one particular game, if people are asking, well, Nate, give me a glimmer of hope against the Houston Texans, I have a thought that this team, especially on offense, got a little bit like, we want to just do the cool stuff. I actually talked to Spector about this. Hey, man, we just want to do all the cool stuff. We want to just throw it deep. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to do all the innovative stuff. Huh? What do you mean? What? Do the basics? Huh? They actually were really good at this last year when they were forced to do it because they didn't have a receiver worth a damn. They had Kareem Hunt as their leading rusher, and they were trying to three-peat. So, actually, the coaching staff did a lot better when they were restricted. Hey, we don't have a left tackle. Well, how can we manage the offense? The offense was actually pretty good last year based on the restrictions that they had from a player standpoint. And my hope is, hey, you watch practice this week. You know you're limited at left tackle, or you know you're limited in certain areas of the game plan, so that actually is going to restrict you to do the wise thing, which is actually coach appropriately to the talent that you have. I thought Andy did a masterful job last year when, again, they played the New Orleans Saints with Juju Smith-Schuster as their best receiver, and they actually went up and down the field. So, hey, they played Myles Garrett last year with Joe Tooney at left tackle, and they found ways to be creative and productive and move the ball down the field and execute in the red zone to give themselves an advantage. So there are tapes of this, right? They played the Steelers on Christmas Day, and, you know, T.J. Watt did not wreck the game. What you're asking is this team to do the similar thing this time where, hey, you cannot let Will Anderson wreck this game. Because what I just saw, what the Texans did to the Colts, was darn near criminal, because you need Mahomes to stay upright. So move the pocket, rollouts, naked boots, play action passes. Like, you know, give the defensive end something to think about instead of just, hey, I can just pin my ears back and I can go to the quarterback.
Nate, Mahomes, right? I know there's been a lot of adversity in this season, but there's a lot of people, especially on the program that you're with ESPN, that say until there's an elimination next to that name, the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm not doubting this team because of who 15 is. Third in the NFL in passing yards, fifth in touchdowns. He is putting together quite the season, but it kind of goes under the radar with all the drama that has been going on in Kansas City.
Yeah. Guys, don't criticize the quarterback. It's not the quarterback's fault. It really isn't. He did miracles on Thanksgiving, all right? I just want people to recognize.
Stop throwing interceptions at inopportune times, bro.
You can
give me all the stats you want. It's the interceptions at the inappropriate times that drive me nuts.
Well, there's only one this year, Bob. Two. There's only one.
I got Denver and I got Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's bad. Jacksonville's the worst. I actually don't put a ton of him on Denver. He knows he can't make that throw, right? The problem is Juwan Taylor put them behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
And because they were in 3rd and 15 in the red zone, and because the offense was terrible in the first half because mostly play calling, decision making, and all that jazz, they put their quarterback in a place where he said, oh, I have to be Superman. And it's like, no. You can just take the 3 points and move on. But look, everybody throws interceptions in the league. He's actually thrown less than most. I know Matthew Stafford just had his first game where it looked like, ooh, not great. Where he had some red zone interceptions too. I still think Matthew Stafford's like the leading MVP candidate, but like you measure him and Patrick Mahomes, they're wildly similar. I know I love Jeff Saturday. What are you talking about, sir? like, are you watching the games? Because the two factors for Patrick Mahomes this season that are negative is, yes, you threw a pick six that essentially changed the complexion of the game in Jacksonville.
And season.
While also leading the team to a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter that was upended by, Trevor Lawrence falling down and getting back up and still scoring. The Denver game is interesting because he threw the interception, terrible decision. Chiefs defense couldn't get off the field. But, hey, 4 minutes left, you have the ball, yeah. Go win us the game, 3 and out, not great. So outside of those two games, I still think he's playing at a very, very high level. And the reason why people think Patrick isn't having as good of a season as he is because he does not have the ball last, Bob. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I am playing out of my mind on opening night in Sao Paulo. Hey, just go get me the ball. Go get me the ball. Nope. Okay. Well, hey, you know what, Travis? You know, I should have a touchdown instead of an interception, whatever. You know what? All I got to do is get off the field against Jalen Hurts. Get off the field. Get off. Nope. Not going to get the ball. Nope. Okay. Well, hey, I just did an amazing job getting away from Quentin Williams, and I scrambled, and I found, Xavier Worthy, and then on fourth down, I found Rasheed Rice, and we scored a touchdown, and hey, we're right back in it, boys. We're only down 3. All I got to do is get me the ball back. Give me the ball back. No ball. They're just going to run out the clock. It's, too often the Chiefs defense has not done what its one job is,
right.
Is to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes in a one game, in a one score game, in a late game situation, because that's what they did last year, and often last year, Patrick Mahomes did an excellent job of managing the game in the fourth quarter. So I just think people forget, you don't have to necessarily look at the stats, but at the same time, he has not had the moments that we have become accustomed to because the Chiefs defense cannot get off the field when the game is right. There to be had.
And that being said, though, that means then you have to change what you're doing. You have to play that complimentary football if yes. You're Patrick Mahomes, yes. And you can't continue to be Superman. Because we've known now for a while this defense can't get off the field. The league knows 3rd and long, cover 0, blitz, here it comes, complete, first down. Like, everybody knows yep. What's happening right now. And so knowing all of those things, man, like, for Patrick Mahomes, yeah, I'm going to put a little bit more pressure. You're the arguably one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest of all time. You have to make the plays within the game that are conducive to the way that the game flow is going. And if your defense isn't going to get off the field and give you that opportunity to get the ball back, then you have to play a little bit closer to the vest, and you can't take those chances because this isn't an offense that can score on a dime or a defense that can get off the field. And so that's why I have a little kind of, blame towards the quarterback, because he has to understand that where we are in the course of the game or in the course of the season is different than where they've been before. And knowing that the defense is going to get you the ball back because they've done it in the past, that's not the case in the future right now. And so you have to play a little bit differently and can't take those chances because of the dynamic of this team.
But Bob, I think that is why he's taking more chances, is because he's recognized it a lot faster than Andy Reid. And again, Patrick really didn't do anything super bad Thursday against the Denver Broncos. Against the Dallas Cowboys. I just want to remind people, like, it's 4th and 4 from the 44. Like, just keep Patrick on the field. Hey, Patrick delivers a beautiful ball to Rasheed Rice, who drops it. Like, those are the two reasons why the Chiefs got down 10 points outside of their defense, where the offense had a chance to control things or to keep the game going a certain way. To your point, Bob, but I think – Patrick has started to recognize, ooh, buddy, all right, I don't have my left tackle. I don't have my right tackle. Okay, I got to go into creation, Superman, you know, do all these wonderful things. I think Patrick also realizes, too, hey, against top-flight defenses, and this is going to be where I think you and I agree about this particular matchup, this Houston Texans defense is just as good as the Denver Broncos. So The last time we saw you play a defense this well, you got so annoyed, so frustrated that you just said, you know what? I haven't thrown a ball to Elijah Mitchell all year. I'm going to make it work anyway. And we're like, no, don't do that.
Right.
No. So will you have learned from that experience to where you say, okay, points is at a premium today. This game is going to be played likely in the 20s, right? You're not going to, I don't think C.J. Stroud is going to go up and down the field the same way Dak Prescott did. It's going to be cold, right? We're going back to more real football, playoff atmosphere. We all understand that. So I tend to agree that the quarterback has to manage the game well, and we all know he's talented enough to do that. But I also understand, too, that, he's starting to feel the pressure now of, I cannot give the ball back to the other quarterback if he's playing well and capable today. And also, man, we might not have the defense to do it, which means I cannot, go this – I cannot hold the ball and just wait for the next possession. Because the next possession, I might be down more than I was on this previous one, which sort of squeezes the quarterback into making maybe not as great decision-making. Again, you look at the stats, you look at the way he's played on a down-to-down basis. He's been, by the way, excellent on fourth down this season, which is why it has to be, again, aggravating for Chiefs fans to realize that, again, Andy Reid trusted his defense against the Cowboys more than he trusted his own quarterback, again, on fourth and four from the 44-yard line, which is one of the most cowardly punts all season, again, in a game where we all thought you had to have. So Mahomes is going to have to use his legs, I think, a little bit more often against the Texans on Sunday, and he's going to have to manage the game and not force things, but still be capable enough on occasion to do that Superman stuff, because that, I think, is what's going to be required, given the fact that we, again, do not technically know who his left tackle is, although we know it's a real possibility it could be Wanyama Morris.
That is Nate Taylor of ESPN. Nate, keep doing the Lord's work. Have a good time. Use your Richard Beaters to give us a really powerful story this week. And then yes or no, do you have your tonsils?
Yes, I have my tonsils, and yes, these man beaters are made to type, guys.
Let's go.
So you don't have to worry about me when it comes to being professional.
Are you gonna ask Andy what the guys meant by that? Because if you don't, Florio will come after you.
right. Guys, let's not misconstrue things. All right, there's a lot of sexual innuendo between football coaches of this era and the 1820s. It's just a way of life, and I enjoy it immensely.
We enjoy you the same, Nate. Take care.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, guys.
There has been a broadcast team announced. It will be in college basketball, and we'll give you our dream team here on 96.5 The Fan. You're over Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Big announcement yesterday in the sports world as Dick Vitale and Charles Barkley to call the first four games together in the March Madness tournament.
I love it. It's the greatest combination you could possibly have.
Better than peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, I think
chocolate
so.
And peanut butter?
Maybe not, but it's close.
Broccoli and cheese?
Nah, I'm not into that one. So.
Bacon and eggs?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
That's another good one.
Syrup and pancake?
Yeah.
But you smoking a waffle?
Yeah.
Bong and a blitz?
Uh-huh. but no, I think it's a great combination. And what I love about it is when this TNT thing came in with college basketball about 10 years ago now. It's been a long time.
Nailed it.
They did. They have, but the hardos were so mad.
Sure.
And I saw you roll your eyes there. I'm sure the camera did, because I'm the same way as you. The hardo college basketball fan was so mad.
They're distracting us from the game.
And because nobody knows who these players are or care. And they showed us right then and there really where college basketball is. They've done a great job of basically saying none of this is relevant until the March Madness. And they were just
just like all of us as fans, that when March Madness starts, you start watching college basketball.
And, I don't believe it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's normal human behavior to do that kind of stuff. But the Hardos were so mad. And I love Charles Barkley on anything that he does. He embraces who he is. They have fun with everything. And I think Dick Vitale is the most important figure in the history of college basketball. I will go on to my grave and I will say there's no more person more important to college basketball than Dick Vitale. I'll say the same thing about John Madden for the NFL. Both of those guys were the biggest voices for the sports when the sports needed cheerleaders, needed rah-rah people, needed people to make it big and to push it onto the scene. The NFL was always second tier behind baseball and even boxing at one point in time, right? Mm. And then John Madden came and he made it fun and interesting and engaging. And, you know, the baseball strike happened, but Madden was still there and they propelled the NFL to that next level. Dick Vitale was a fired NBA coach from the Pistons that a fledgling network hired in 1980 to call a college basketball game when nobody was televising college basketball or even cared about college basketball. And Dick Vitale made the sport what it is today. And so the fact that you can pair him calling college basketball games with Charles Barkley, who's one of the great entertainers of all time, this is a major home run. And I love the fact that we're going to see this.
And opposites attract.
Absolutely, too. Right? Yeah.
And that's kind of the best thing about marriages. I mean, your wife is an extreme extrovert. You are an extreme introvert.
Yeah, exactly.
Without each other, that combination doesn't really work.
Right.
So then we had to kind of pick back and forth, like what would be the dream broadcast? I'd love to see Mitch Holtis and Marshawn Lynch. And that's not a shot at Danon Hughes, because Danon's great.
Of course. Yeah.
But like imagine Marshawn, you know, laid back, goofy, and Mitch is just doing Mitch things, like from the nectar, he gargles it. What'd you say, bro?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that awkward pause. I'd also love to see Shane Gillis with Gus Johnson.
It's a perfect one.
And then Kevin Harlan and Kevin Hart. I think that'd be great too.
Yeah. Kevin Hart would be perfect in the booth. That'd be awesome.
See, I got Josh Klingler and John Rothstein as a. Oh,
That's a John Klinger.
Yeah. Kling and Rothstein. See if he kills him by the time the broadcast is over. That's where I would go on that. Anything with Kevin Harlan would be good, though. Kevin Harlan could just sit here and call the weather outside. Oh, my God, there's smoke coming up the side of the building from the generator downstairs. It's passing level 2. It's passing level 3. And you're like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
The man on Metcalf is drunk. Yeah. He didn't use his turn signal.
Look at all the boomers in the parking lot.
I thought you were doing sports broadcast, not traffic. I'm doing both.
Yeah, I'm doing both. Yeah, like Kevin is just the best. There's nobody better.
Mac, you got a combo you'd like to see?
Yeah, I was trying to find Bob's audio of him doing Kevin Harlan calling the Masters where he goes, oh my, what a putt! And I couldn't find it. Kevin Harlan and Anthony Jeselnik, I don't know, opposite the track. Yeah. You got that cynic, that dry Jeselnik, and then obviously Harlan just being Harlan. So that was one that I thought of as well.
That is a good one. I always, back in the day, not anymore, I always thought Justin Timberlake would have been the perfect hire for Monday Night Football, and people thought I was nuts 15 years ago. He's entertainment. This is what we want in sports, right?
He'd be great.
It's not about X's and O's. Like the hard I hate to tell it to you, it's not about you. It's about bringing everybody on board and entertaining the masses. If you don't think every MF-er out there is not going to watch Dick Vitale and Charles Barkley on a game together. Now, who's the play-by-play guy? Have they announced that yet?
God, throw Ernie in there.
Oh, who would be the perfect play-by-play guy? Because you know who it would be? It would either be Ian Eagle or Kevin Harlan.
There you go.
That's it. Ian or Kevin would be the perfect.
Kevin.
Because Kevin understands how to let his analysts do their thing, and he's got a sense of humor, like he's cool too. I guarantee you Kevin Harlan knows 6'7", right? A lot of the other guys probably don't. But like Kevin gets pop culture, I think.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in.
we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He'd be perfect with those guys.
Speaking of Dick Vitale, you said he, you know, renovated the game of basketball. He also created one of the greatest snacks in my childhood, the Dipsy Doo Dunkaroos.
Yeah, that's right. Mm.
Fantastic snack. Coming up on the other side, the Week 14 Slate Plus, a number that you can't hide from and what it means for the future of holiday games here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.